Welcome to Torah Imecha Nachyomi. My name is Adina Schmidman, and we are excited to be starting Megillas Shir HaShirim. As you will learn, Shir HaShirim is a sefer with many layers, and we're thrilled to gain insight from Mrs. Esther Wien, whose unique approach to the themes and messages you will hear as we learn the sefer together. I'd like to take this opportunity to wish each one of you a Ksiva V'Chasima Tova, a year of good health, joy, and peace, for 5782. May you continue to derive meaning and growth from your learning. Shana Tova, and now for today's Perek.
Hello, my name is Esther Wien. Welcome to the Torah Timecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be beginning our study of Shir HaShirim with an introduction. Okay, Shir HaShirim is about relationships, a particular relationship. Stop right there. The reason Shir HaShirim is going to be so important for us to delve into on a very, very advanced and deep level is because relationships, they make our lives. The health of our relationship, the functionality of our relationships. The world today is consumed with developing healthier relationships. And as soon as we start thinking about relationships and the ultimate relationship, which is what Shir HaShirim deals with, of Hashem and us, we have to stop and say, wait, what are the most basic components of a relationship? And what that is identity. Today, the world also is consumed with identity. Everybody today is being asked to define their identity, all right? But it is really true. My self-concept is key to how my relationship with someone else is going to go. So going back to Shir HaShirim, Shir HaShirim is about the ultimate relationship between Hashem and us, as is individually, also as Am Yisrael as a whole, Hashem's relationship to the human race as a whole, and to creation. But what we will focus on in these next eight parts of our study will be our personal spiritual journey, our personal relationship with Hashem. So, of course, what we bring to that relationship must be an accurate self-concept, but we have so many questions that Shir HaShirim is going to deal with. Questions about our relationship with Hashem. Number one, why is Shir HaShirim all male and female? Why is the relationship in Shir HaShirim describing a passionate love affair between a male and a female? Obviously, Hashem is always the male, we are always the female, but what does that really mean? Okay. More than that, how did we get into this relationship with Hashem? And what are we supposed to do with it? And what constitutes intimacy with Hashem? And Shir HaShirim shows us how the male and the female aren't always in sync with each other. And the female sometimes is yearning and passionate and seeking the male, Hashem, but can't find Hashem. And sometimes Hashem is seeking the beloved, the female, us, and we're sleeping, we're too tired, or we're looking somewhere else. This is, how does the male and female attain this intimacy which will be eternal and perfect? This is really the questions of Shir HaShirim. In fact, the very first pasuk, let's start with Perek Aleph. Shir HaShirim Asher L'Shlomo. We know that every single word in Shir HaShirim is an allegory. Not one single word is allowed to be taken literally. It is all, every word of it, meant to be a mashal for the relationship of Hashem and us. Starting with this first perek, the Shlomo in this pasuk is Hashem. Shir HaShirim Asher L'Shlomo. Shlomo is HaMelech Shehashalom Shalom, the king. That's Shalom, which sometimes we think is peace, but it really also means Shleimut, wholeness. How the king that wholeness, Shleimut, perfection and wholeness is his. Meaning that this Hashem will have the perfect intimacy between the male and the female, will have wholeness. Everything will be part of that whole. That is attainable, that is inevitable, and that's what Shir HaShirim is teaching us how to attain. So when we start looking at Shir HaShirim, and we understand that it's about attaining a wholeness, a oneness, an intimacy with Hashem, and the mashal is male and female, again, halachically, it is not allowed to be understood on any level other than allegory. To do anything different with it is to desecrate it, and it's a violation of the laws of how to learn Shir HaShirim. Okay, so let's go into this relationship between male and female. How do we get into it? What do we do for it? How do we get intimacy? Where do we come in? All right, So the first approach that I'm sure you're all thinking is, well, God is male because he's the giver, and humanity, or we, are females because we're the receiver. And in a male-female intimacy, the male is the giver and the female is the receiver. So that's a really nice mushel. However, you all know already the dangers of this sort of simplistic understanding, because what that runs the risk of is misrepresenting Judaism, where somebody could say, well, obviously I'm the receiver, I'm a person, we're helpless, we need rain, we need health, we need money, we need peace. Like, we cannot dictate, we don't even dictate who our parents are or what generation we're born into, and like, we're completely takers, we're receivers of whatever's like basically put upon us or given to us. And, you know, now that we're here, we want to basically get through life without pain and with as much pleasure as possible. So what does a receiver do? They try to keep the giver happy. And then God's the big giver, boss man in the sky. And we basically say, oh, maybe the mitzvahs and the Torah and prayer, you know, that all is all just different strategies that you decided. These are the things that make you happy. And if we keep really obedient and we fulfill them, then maybe you'll give us what we need and maybe not. Now, this, of course, is a terrible misrepresentation of Judaism. And more than that, who wants to be in such a relationship? I don't know anyone who wants to be in this sort of relationship where there's a big giver and a helpless taker. And also, it distorts mitzvahs, it distorts tefillah, it makes everything sort of like one big let's make a deal situation. And it's absolutely not what's being described in Shir HaShirim. However, there is truth. God is a giver. And we do receive. So let's go deeper into this. Okay, what we're going to do in order to understand this is we're going to first of all establish a basic Kabbalistic image, okay, basic Kabbalistic allegory to help us understand our relationship with Hashem and the deeper levels of male and female. And we are going to understand terms you've probably heard before, Chachma, Bina, and Das. All right, the allegory we're going to work with, and we'll flesh it out with the next 10 minutes, is that we exist in a relationship with Hashem, like everything else in creation, as an expression of divine thought. However, the divine thought bringing reality into existence, all right, is understood as like a mother having a baby developing within herself. That the mother is the place, has created a part of herself in which creation, her child, exists. And that child is a function, or I'd say a participant in the mother's existence. Let's go back. How does this all start? So Hashem is the male giver, all right? And the analogy, Hashem created in the physical world human males and human females so that they serve as analogies to teach us about much greater non-physical cosmic forces in play that explain how we exist and how we came into existence and Hashem's relationship to us. So in this, Hashem has a male force that's part of him, and Hashem has a female force that's part of him. And in humanity, there's a male and a female, and again, they are the mashalim. So in the male-female physical mashal, in intimacy, the male releases 500 million, perhaps some say even more than that, sperm. And in the head of every sperm, there's a little packet of DNA. What is this? What is this 500 million packets of DNA, or a billion? And over a lifetime, trillions and trillions, you know, too many to even count. It's all, here are the words, it's all potential self-expression. Potential creation. Creation of what? Creation of expressions of the Father, variations of the Father. Each one of those little packets of DNA could be an entire person that has within it the Father's own self, the Father's self-expression. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu is described as male, all right, this is fundamental. When Hashem is described as male, what we are talking about is something called also Chachma. Chachma comes from the word Koach Ma, the power, the potential that exists. Hashem described as male is referring to Hashem's divine thought, divine ratzon, divine intention that is released and it exists. However, it's not concretized at all. It is Hashem's ratzon. It is put out there and it is Hashem's self-expression, but it has not yet concretized into something real. It has not become the creation as we know it. But that part is called male, and it's always in operation. Hashem is always expressing his will, always expressing his thoughts into the world. And Am Yisrael received these in the form of the Torah, but they also came in the form of nevuah and in the form of miracles. Hashem is constantly releasing this into the world. Now, when Hashem intends something, thinks something, wants something, then obviously it's going to concretize. Think about Bereishis. Vayomer Elokim Yihyar, Vayihyar. Hashem said, let there be X, Y, and Z, and there was X, Y, and Z. So now we're saying that the concretization of the thought is called female. And obviously Hashem is male and female. Thinks and concretizes. In the human mashal, the female also concretizes, receives the male potential, right? The possibility, the sperm. And here is where we're going to delve deeper into the concept of free choice, because in the human being, the woman can choose to receive this or choose not to. But if the woman chooses to receive it, then she receives the divine or the male thought potential, mixes it with her own individuality, her egg, and then what happens? She builds and concretizes something real. There's a walking, talking baby. Okay? So what that means is when the woman chooses to concretize the male potential, that would be what intimacy is about. Okay? So in Hashem's relationship to the Jewish people and to the world, to the human race, to everything, we have to explore this. In creation, clearly Hashem's thought will concretize into reality. There is no interference. The male and female are absolutely one, and that's it. And Hashem is male and female. But something unique happens within creation, in the particular design of the human being. I'm not talking about Jewish people here, the human being. In Perek Aleph, Hashem says, Nasa Adam Bitzalmenu. Let's make a person, the royal we, in our image. This is the origin of Tzelem Elokim. Okay? And Tzelem Elokim means, think again now back to the fetus in the womb, that Hashem's divine thought, divine intention, Ratzon, will, says, I will release into the world my intention, which is to create a miniature God like me, a God within a God. In other words, humanity, the human being, will be designed as an expression of divine Ratzon, divine will. So that's already part of the human being's design. And yet it will be like God so that it has its own ability to develop its own self-concept, okay? Its own sense of its potential, its chachma, what it thinks is its potential, what it can do with itself. And then it will have its own ability to concretize that. Now that's called Bina. Whenever you get to the female, you're talking about the force called Bina, which is from the word bone, to build, right? It'll have its own ability to build its own self-concept into something concrete. It'll be able to make its own choices, to build out of its life something that concretizes its own personal self-concept. But at the same time, I've invented the whole thing. It's all existing as a function of Hashem's self-expression. Think of the fetus in the womb. It's part of the mother. Within it already is the DNA of the mother and the father. That is what makes it up. And yet it operates with the impression, because it's reality, that it can come up with its own self-concept and actualize its own interests. Now the reason, the necessary component that we have to understand in order to see where this now, so to speak, free choice comes into, is that Hashem created the possibility for this little Tzelem Elokim mini God within God himself, like the fetus in the womb, to have its own self-concept by creating something called the mechitza. Okay, in the womb, the fetus could actually not know that it's part of a mother and think that it's all by itself and that it's in charge of figuring out who it is and surviving on its own, right, theoretically, right? Because we're all in the predicament of the fetus in the womb, because there's a uterine wall that doesn't allow the fetus to see the mother. So it could technically imagine, like many human beings, like most of the human race, hey, we're all alone, and this is the world, and we got to figure out how to survive, and that's about it. And then if somebody taught them about God, they go, oh yeah, that's the big boss that I have to keep happy. So what ends up happening here is this mini God is missing context. The huge word we're going to keep relying on is context. Identity requires context. What we're understanding, what the Jewish people understood, and hopefully all those in the human race that were influenced by the Jewish concept, is that we exist as part of a greater reality. There's context. We are already designed by Hashem. We are a function of Hashem's self-expression. All right? And knowing that means that we are have the double benefit of A, experience a certain autonomy, a certain sense of being a separate self, a certain sense of being able to make our own choices because we don't see automatically what we're part of. That's the limits of our five senses allow, you know, don't allow us to see what we're part of. And by the way, if we would totally see what we're part of, if there be transparency in that wall between the fetus and the mother, we wouldn't even have a self-concept. We'd know we're just part of Hashem. But Hashem creates this, so to speak, mechitza. Hashem creates this, so to speak, possibility for self-concept. However, the big bechira here, the choices, and this is what Shir Hashirim is all about, it's not so simple, is that we have to align our identity with the proper context. Meaning, here's how it looks simply. We understand that we're part of a Kodesh Baruch Hu self-expression, and therefore whatever is in Hashem is in us. But we also have the ability to be an individual and kind of build ourselves. And the goal is to align the two. So how does it look? Okay, part of Hashem's self-concept is chesed. Hashem is releases the power of chesed into the world. We feel it in ourselves. People are moved to do something for others, right? So somebody's going to go build bridges in Africa, and somebody's going to teach math, and somebody else is going to visit old age homes, right? Because each person's individuality and design and self-concept within the greater context of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, can now be developed safely and also can be used to channel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So really is like the fetus in the womb model is we know what we're part of, we are using our individuality to channel it. And we're not making the mistake of thinking that we're all alone, basically abandoned here in a world, you know, that we've got to make the best of and that we have no context for our identity. So going back to Shir Hashirim, there's going to be an inevitable shleimus. Chachma part of us that is the development of our self-concept and the being a part of us, the part of us that builds it, is going to end up in a place called Das, which is knowing. The ultimate knowing is knowing that we're part of something and that's what we're channeling and that's what's in us. And that is our true attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we channel the divine self-expression through our own individuality. That is really our relationship with Hashem. That is when we are Etzelem Elokim. Shir HaShirim is going to be about the journey to that point. It doesn't go so easily. It doesn't happen by osmosis that we just start, you know, and then get there. And Emir Tashem, in our study, we will explore many aspects of this developing relationship. Thank you all for listening, and Ler Torah be Ilay Nishmas Malka Esther Bas V'Yosef.